Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
We know you're uncertain about psychics. Is this fortune teller you found on a forum legit?
Your one true love is...
me!
That's why California psychics reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work with us. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. New customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. So, experience the joy of certainty at californiapsychics.com. Experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
This episode is presented by State Farm. Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing the protection of an offensive guard on the football field, but getting an elementary school crossing guard. Sure, they're both guards, but you can only trust one to keep your quarterback safe when the game is on the line. So don't settle for just any insurance when there's State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Coca-Cola. For the big, for the small, the short, and the tall. Peacemakers, risk takers. For the optimists, pessimists. For long distance love. For introverts and extroverts. The thinkers and the doers. For old friends and new. Coca-Cola. For everyone. Pick up some Coca-Cola at a store near you.
It's the Amazing Rico Bronya Podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
Well, hey, everybody. This is Bob Murphy.
Yeah, my Bob Murphy imitation sucks. I apologize. Welcome to episode 606 of Rico Bronya. We have a ton to discuss. We will address a lot of guys coming off the board in the last couple of days. Michael King going back to San Diego. Munetaka Murakami going to the White Sox, the Red Sox making a big trade for potential Mets target Wilson Contreras, the Shane Boz trade, how all of that impacts the New York Mets. We will lead off with the Steve Cohen payroll discussion. But before we go there, I do want to remind you the Rico Rewatchable game that we will have, and I advise during your vacation, during your holidays, as you spend time with the family, instead of watching garbage football on Christmas Day, how about Game 6 of the 86 World Series? Because when the new year begins, first week of January, we will have our Rico rewatchable episode in which we'll break down Game 6 of the World Series as if it happened the other day. So if you're looking for something to do, rewatch the game. We'll have a lot of fun. First week of January, Game 6 of the 86 World Series, one of the most famous games in the history of the sport, and obviously one of the most famous games in Met history. So I could see, but based on the email, that it was very split amongst Met fans on how they chose to interpret Steve Cohen's tweets from Friday. Now, where all this came from is that the New York Post had an article about Pete Alonso in which it basically confirmed they never really made serious attempts to keep him. And once Pete Alonso got that five-year offer from the Orioles, I mean, the cart's out of the barn. Basically, it's over. But there was a little blurb from Mike Puma in which he wrote, the Mets estimate their payroll for next season to fall somewhere in the $310 to $320 million range with multiple holes remaining. This much seems clear. The team isn't in a hurry to challenge the Dodgers' payroll mark from last season of $400 million. That was a little blurb about payroll, which some interpreted as the Mets are going to be slashing their payroll. Before I even had read Mike Puma's article, I saw the owner's tweets, and it sounded like this. As typical, the usual idiots misinterpreting a Post article on Mets payroll for 26. I can't imagine our payroll to be lower than last year. It's always hard to predict, but that would be my best guess. Payroll watchers always forget to budget for waiver claims, player movement from minors to majors, and trade deadline moves. That's how it typically works. I interpreted that first part of his tweet when he said, as typical, the usual idiots misinterpreting a Post article, as him attacking the fans. I could see based on the Rico email that half of you guys agreed with me and half of you guys said, Evan, he wasn't talking about the fans. He was talking about some in the media and maybe some fans. Now, Steve went on Twitter a few hours later and really tried to clarify it was not an attack on fans. And I will admit Steve Cohen even reached out to me to make it clear that that was not his intention. So what I say to that is, I believe you. I mean, I don't blame myself for interpreting that tweet as an attack on fans, but I'm also a believer that if you say something, I'm going to choose to believe you. Steve Cohen has not given us reasons to believe he's going to lie to us. So when he reached out to me, and obviously the tweets that he also put out there, I believe him. He was frustrated by some, not all of us fans, but some taking this as kind of a hit on what the payroll is going to look like in 2026. I am not worried about the Mets payroll in 2026. I have never been worried about the Mets payroll in 2026. I think they're going to spend. I never looked at this offseason, as pissed off as I still am about the loss of Diaz and Alonso, as the Mets becoming cheap. I didn't look at it as they're slashing payroll. I looked at it as David Stearns did not want to give Pete Alonso a long-term deal. It's the same argument Hoff and I have had for years about this, that they didn't value Pete Alonso on a long-term contract. That's turned out to be true because they never even made him a long-term offer. So even with that blurb from the New York Post, I wasn't overly worried that the Mets are going to cut payroll. And now I would be even less worried because for Steve Cohen to be that adamant on social media, that insistent of this is not true. What are you talking about? I have the utmost confidence the Mets are going to have a very high payroll. That's the good news. The bad news is just because you have a high payroll doesn't mean you're going to win. Doesn't mean you're making all the right moves. And I think where we stand approaching the holidays is that many of us are not happy with the moves that they've made. That is irrelevant from where the payroll is going to be and if they're cutting payroll. So as we stand today, I am not nervous about the Mets' lack of intention in spending. I'm nervous about who David Stearns is willing to spend on. And as I've said many times, so I don't want to belabor it, I think sometimes you've got to make uncomfortable decisions in free agency. And sometimes you've got to go beyond what you deem is the smart move. The Mets chose not to do that with Pete Alonso. We'll see what they do for the rest of this offseason. So far, in signing Jorge Polanco, who's making plenty of money, $20 million a year is a lot, it's a short-term deal. We've seen no indication they're going to go long-term on starting pitchers. And you look at the rest of free agency, I stand here right now telling you I would be surprised if they're signing anybody to a mega long-term deal. It's why I don't expect Kyle Tucker. I don't even expect Cody Bellinger. And that's not a cut on payroll. They're two completely different things. The payroll could go up because if you're signing guys to short-term deals and you're paying them a lot of money, the 2026 payroll has a chance to be very high. So that is not my concern. But I think everything has been cleared up. Steve Cohen was very sure to let all of us know, stop being worried about payroll. And as I said to him during our brief exchange, and I'll say it to you because I think I say it on the Rico all the time, just go build us a winner. That's all we care about. That's all I care about. And that's all Met fans care about. Now, are we going to disagree a lot here in December, January, February on if this was a good offseason or if we would have built this offseason the way it happened? Sure. As I've said since Alonso left, I find it really hard to believe or really tough to imagine an offseason that's going to have high approval ratings. But that doesn't mean the team won't be good in 2026. We'll sit here. We'll give our opinions. Half of us will hate it, or maybe more than half of us will hate it. But if they are winning games come April, May, June, July, August, September, I have to include all the months because we all know what happened last year, we'll all be very happy. So that puts this payroll discussion to bed for now, because obviously if the payroll is not really high. I mean, it's going to be high no matter what. It's already high. But if the payroll is not to some likings, when we get to opening day, there'll be a different discussion. Let's get to some of the guys that came off the board. First, Michael King, which happened a couple of days ago. I think the longer the Michael King negotiation went, and you heard that it wasn't going to be a long-term deal, I had two mixed emotions about this. One side was, really, you could get Michael King on a short-term contract? That's a no-brainer. We all know David Stearns has a hesitation so far, other than to Yoshinobu Yamamoto, of giving long-term deals out to any starting pitcher. So if Michael King is really going to take a three-year deal, which had been rumored for weeks now, why wouldn't we be in on that? Sean Manaea signed a three-year deal for $75 million. That's the one aspect of go get Michael King, which they didn't do. The other aspect, which we cannot ignore, though I know this is going to piss a lot of people off, but we can't be foolish about it, is that Michael King was made the qualifying offer. Was David Stearns, and forget was David Stearns, I guess I'll ask everyone out there who wanted Michael King, because myself included, like Michael King on a three-year deal seemed like a worthy gamble. Is it really worth giving up the draft capital that it's going to take for a guy who signed a contract that can opt out after 1 year? And the answer is, no, that's probably not smart. When you're giving up draft picks for a free agent, sometimes it's a no-brainer to do it. A year ago, the Mets did it for Juan Soto, and I don't think anybody is going to second-guess that. But when you're signing a starting pitcher, oft-injured starting pitcher, on a short-term deal, the positive to the short-term deal is there's little risk in terms of the contract. But the risk that you have is, let's say he does have a really good year and he opts out, which he has the ability to do with the three-year contract he signed with San Diego. You just gave up draft picks for 1 year. Is that really smart when you're trying to build a team long-term? The answer is no. So what's the middle ground? Like, what would have been the kind of contract that would have been worth giving up a draft pick? My answer is, I'll give you my answer, a straight up, no opt-out attached, three-year contract. Because I think 3 years in the prime of one's career as a starting pitcher for Michael King, okay, yeah, I'd give up a young potential asset for that player. Because obviously we're talking about a draft pick or potentially two draft picks. Who knows what those players can become? In one case in Met history, when they lost Mike Hampton, that pick became David Wright. In another moment in Met history, when they lost Jose Reyes, that player became Kevin Plawecki. So you don't know. But when I saw the contract that King signed with the San Diego Padres, first you see 3 years, 75, or in that range, and I think your reaction is, wait, you gave that to Sean Manaea. How would you not give that to Michael King? That seems perfect. That seems like exactly what David Stearns would want to do. But when you look closely at that contract and you see opt-outs all over the place, you're not giving up, nor would it be smart to give up draft capital for someone who could walk away after 1 year. So would I have liked Michael King? Yeah, absolutely. Especially because as much as we get on David Stearns for not wanting to give long-term contracts to starting pitchers, it's not like it's a bad thought or it's a stupid thought to not want to give long contracts to starting pitchers. We see the risk involved. So I think if the Mets were able to get him, King that is, on a three-year deal or a four-year deal without opt-outs, I would have been more than willing to give up the capital needed to make that signing. But the deal he made with San Diego basically allows Michael King to have a big year and go back into free agency without the qualifying offer, which could be something the Mets look at next season, because the starting pitching market next season is already more appealing than the market is right now. And Michael King becomes more appealing, especially if he has a fully healthy season, something he didn't do last year, and he would no longer have the qualifying offer attached to him. So that's my view on King. Let's get to Munetaka Murakami. It is amazing to me that a year ago when we sat here during the offseason, and I guess I'd have to go back into the archives of the Rico to find what we said about Murakami, but I certainly know on WFAN what was said by a few of my comrades as Yankee fans. And I'm not here to like knock Sean Morash or anything like that, though that's fun. But Murakami was the belle of his eye. And he wasn't alone. I'm just using him as an example on how the value of Munetaka Murakami came crashing down. And why? Because there's a stat that turned out to not even be true about his struggles with fastballs 95 or greater. Was it the scouting report on his defense? Was it the fact that he truly is a designated hitter? This was supposed to be one of the most prolific sluggers coming over from Japan. This was supposed to be another example of the Dodgers owning Asia by signing another Japanese superstar. And I think one of the negatives that the Japanese player has is this posting system, because there's a clock on how long your negotiation can go. Unlike regular free agency, where a few years ago we saw Bryce Harper and Manny Machado take their free agency into February and March, once you're posted, you have 45 days. And so, if there's no market for you, and it felt like there was very little market for Murakami, eventually the clock gets to 10:30. And then it gets to 11:30. And then before you know it, it's 11:55 and you got to decide. So the White Sox got Murakami on an incredibly reasonable deal. It's a 2-year contract, $36 million in that range, about $18 million a year, I think was the numbers. Look that up for me, Hoff. I forgot to write that one down, but it was less than what Jorge Polanco was getting.
Can I tell you why I know it for a fact? It is 2 years, $34 million. Why do I know that? Because it's the Frankie Montas contract.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's the Frankie Montas. Right. So this guy goes from Babe Ruth to the Frankie Montas contract.
So good, so good, so good.
Give big, save big with Rack Friday deals at Nordstrom Rack. For a limited time, take an extra 40% off Red Tag clearance for a total savings up to 75% off. Save on gifts for everyone on your list from brands like Vince, Cole Haan, Sam Edelman, and more. All sales final and restrictions apply. The best stuff goes fast, so bring your gift list and your wish list to your nearest Nordstrom Rack today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
This message may be shocking to many millennials. If you are one, you might want to sit down. Right now, loads of people are searching the following on Depop: low-rise jeans, halter top, velour tracksuit, puka shell necklace, disc belt. You likely placed these in the dark of your closet in 2004, never to be seen again. But if you can find it in yourself to dust them off, there are a lot of people who will give you money for them. Sell on Depop, where taste recognizes taste.
That it is amazing how his market fell. And not only does it fall to 2 years, $34 million, it falls to where the White Sox are the place he decides to go. Now, here's the way I view this. Murakami is now giving himself a 2-year audition. He signs, he goes to Chicago, and if he puts up massive numbers at age 25 and 26, he gets to re-enter free agency at 28 years old. Which is a nice place to be, right? He can then turn that, if he has two big years with Chicago, into a monster contract. So I get what Murakami's doing. Let me take a short-term deal, and let me show these dumb Americans how awesome I am. Now, as far as me, as a Met fan, I'm mixed, because a part of me says, wow, $17 million a year, what if he is a Japanese Babe Ruth? But right now, with where this team is, with needing a real first baseman, okay, with needing a right-handed slugger, And I think wanting some certainty in your lineup, is that Murakami? No, it's the opposite, quite frankly. Like, I think he makes so much sense for a team like Chicago, who has nothing to lose. The Mets have a lot to lose. You sign Murakami to a two-year contract as one of the replacements for Pete Alonso when he has no track record here. It could hit. It could be amazing. But he could also hit 215 and not be able to hit fastballs 95 or more. And oh, by the way, he doesn't have a position, which would have forced Polanco to become the first baseman, something I've said ever since they signed him, I don't want to see happen. And I'll get more into that coming up in just a few minutes. So am I pissed the Mets didn't sign Murakami? Not really. I just think that when you look at the description of the player, the risk involved, the lack of defense, is that the question you wanted to add to this Met lineup as they are trying to replace some stalwarts?
I just think that I can't wait to hear his press conference, how he says, I always wanted to be in Chicago. I wanted to fill the shoes of, you know, Sammy Sosa. And I grew up listening to Harry Carey and all that stuff, and then realized that he's talking about the Cubs.
You think he's confused? You don't think he realizes?
I think they're trying to sell it to him. Like, hey, you could have gone back to Japan, or you could go to Chicago.
No,
you know, he, all these guys who played there.
He made a good decision. I mean, jokes aside, because if you want to come to the United States of America and you want to be a megastar, you got to prove it. Some guys come over here and they get mega contracts right away. Some guys just have to come here and prove they're awesome. He gets a two-year window in Chicago, which is still a great American city. I know the White Sox are the joke, but it's Chicago. You can live in the same place as if you were playing for the Cubs. And you go there with no pressure. I mean, maybe the White Sox fan will put pressure on you, but it's a very kind of quiet place right now with no expectations. And if you can mash and be the player you think you are, again, you re-enter free agency in 2 years with teams falling all over themselves for you. So I don't even think it mattered once Murakami realized he was going to have to settle on a short-term contract. Take it, mash, and you'll get paid. That's where what I think it comes down to. But, you know, one question that I know the Met fan may ask is, all right, do you prefer Jorge Polanco on a two-year $40 million deal or Murakami on a two-year $34 million deal? I acknowledge this can age badly because, again, Munetaka Murakami could become a superstar. It's certainly possible. He could hit 52 home runs next year, for all I know. He could also hit 215 and strike out 200 times. I don't think any of us know, which is why I prefer Jorge Polanco. He can play multiple positions. He is a switch hitter who's really solid on both sides. It's not like he's got a weakness. And he's a good hitter. Now, does he have the upside of Murakami? No. No question. I mean, there's no world where Jorge Polanco's hitting 50 home runs. There's a world in which Murakami does. But I think when you lose the certainty of Alonso, even the certainty of Brandon Nimmo, you need to add to this lineup guys where you know what kind of production you're getting. Because remember, there is going to be uncertainty in this lineup with them banking on Carson Benj and potentially Jet Williams. And obviously, who knows what Marcus Semien is? I mean, the guy's been declining 2 years in a row. There's still uncertainty about Francisco Alvarez. So, yeah, I think 3, 4, 5 years from now, the idea of me saying I would have preferred Polanco over Murakami could look foolish. But I think in this moment, with this team, with this roster, I'm okay with 2 years, $40 million for Jorge Polanco compared to 2 years, $34 million for Murakami.
Yeah, in 3 years from now, you could be saying, oh, I should have gotten Murakami, but he could also be a New York Met in 3 years. So it's fine.
Absolutely. I mean, you're 1,000% right. Like, go out there and mash, and we'll see where the Mets are in 3 years, obviously. Like, do they need a DH? And is Murakami going to play the field, and what does he look like in the field? Like, here's the thing. I don't need to be vengeful to David Stearns, because why would I be? You cannot sit here and preach to us about run prevention and defense and how much better we need to be and put slop at first base. Like, that will offend me. That will piss me off. Like, it doesn't have to be a Gold Glover. I get it. You don't have to bring back Keith Hernandez or Rico Bronya. I understand. But if you would assign Munetaka Murakami, like, let's say the news had come out on Sunday that it was the Mets, I think my reaction before I talked about, hey, you never know, guy could hit 50 home runs, could be the next great slugger. I think one of the first things I'd be bitching about is, boy, you're a hypocrite. That's what I'd be saying. Like, so wait a second. So your first baseman is Munetaka Murakami, who apparently doesn't know how to use a glove in Japan, and Jorge Polanco, who's never played first base before. Like, that would have annoyed me. Now, speaking of first base, one of the other options off the table is Wilson Contreras. And I wrote this down before Contreras got traded and before I was at the Brooklyn Nets game on Sunday night, in which I started to analyze Contreras, Okamoto, and Yandy Diaz, and Christian Walker. Those are the four first base options that I look at and say, okay, I'm intrigued by all of them to varying degrees. Obviously, Wilson Contreras is off the board. He was traded on Sunday to the Boston Red Sox in a deal that included Hunter Dobbins, Yoichiro Fajardo, who is the Red Sox 23rd ranked prospect, and Blake Aiita. So it doesn't feel like a massive package going back. Dobbins was good in his 9, 10, 11 starts for the Red Sox, but he's not like a huge prospect. And they didn't trade two other huge prospects. So I think the equivalent, I was trying to come up with an equivalent. What would the equivalent even be? Like, if Tyler McGill was healthy, maybe I would include him, but he's got less years of team control than Dobbins does. I wouldn't say Brandon Sproat. I wouldn't say, guy, I think Sproat's a much bigger prospect than Hunter Dobbins. So it would have to be like a back-end young starting pitcher who's not a huge prospect, and then two low-level prospects for Contreras, and they also got $8 million back. And I was looking at the money. So Yandy Diaz makes $12 million this year for Tampa, and then there's a $15 million vesting option or a $10 million option, depending on plate appearances this upcoming year. Either way, very reasonable. Contreras had $18 million this year, $18.5 million the following year, and then either an $18 million team option or a $5 million buyout. So you do the math, you're talking about $41 million at minimum owed to Wilson Contreras over the next 2 years. You take the $8 million the Red Sox sent out, that works that number to about $33 million. Still more expensive, by the way, than Yandy Diaz. Christian Walker, who we talked a little bit about, obviously signed that contract with the Astros last season when he was a free agent, had a down season. He signed a three-year $60 million deal, so he's got $40 million due over the next 2 years. Okamoto, I'll put him to the side only because, much like Murakami, we don't know. I don't know what that contract looks like, and obviously there's less knowledge of what he is as a player other than what we read about him, but I'll get to him in a few minutes. Between Diaz, Contreras, and Walker, the guy I think I'm most intrigued by is Yandy Diaz. Now, I think Christian Walker could come cheap with 2 years, $40 million remaining. It feels like a contract the Astros would probably try to dump. I mentioned on a previous Rico, maybe Jeff McNeil makes a deal like that work. Because if you're the Astros, you're saving money if you're flipping Walker for McNeil. Maybe Kodai Senga, not that I want to dump him, would be a guy the Astros would be interested in, especially if they're going to lose Framber Valdez in free agency. But what really intrigues me about Yandy Diaz is hitting for a high average, which is such a lost art in baseball these days, and also the fact he does not strike out. And the other thing about Yandy Diaz is if you look at the last 5 years, not to the level of Alonso, Alonso is unique in this regard, but Yandy Diaz posts, as they say. He plays. Last year, 150 games, hit an even 300, 25 home runs, 848 OPS. Only struck out 92 times. Not bad. The year before that, 145 games, 281 batting average, 14 home runs, 65 RBIs. Again, only struck out 95 times. Year before that, won the American League batting title by hitting 330 with 22 home runs and 78 RBIs. So what you see from Yandy is power that's probably between, 15 and 25 home runs. So a little bit of pop. does not strike out at a high rate, has not struck out 100 times yet in any season. His strikeout rate at 14% is well below the league average. He also walks at a higher percentage than the league average. So I like that. I kind of like that aspect in the middle of this lineup. A high walk, low strikeout, high batting average, a little bit of pop kind of hitter. Now, the defense, because I do want to address that. Last year, he DH'd most of the time. He DH'd 114 times and only played first base 37 times. In 24 and 23, he was a predominant first baseman, 115, 120 games. I wanted to find out because some of the stats, like if you go to Baseball Savant, there just wasn't enough innings last year to really rate what kind of defensive player Yandy Diaz is. So I went to another place to try to get the answer. I went to Tampa Bay Ray blogs and I asked some people who would know, what is he defensively? And the answer I got is he's not great. I'm going to make that clear. He is not a Gold Glover, which I guess is the whole, would I be pissed off? Is this hypocritical to bring him in? But what I also got is that he is better than Pete Alonso. So it's not like you're just bringing someone in. The problem with Murakami and Polanco, to go back to what I said earlier, is Murakami's considered awful at first base, and Polanco's never played it. Yandy Diaz is not considered awful. He's just considered slightly below average, but not considered as bad as Pete Alonso. But he also gives you sturdiness offensively. He gives you that right-handed bat. He hits righties and lefties at a high clip, so it's not like he's just a lefty masher. The high average, the little bit of pop, and also the affordable amount of money. Why that matters is, like I said earlier, I'm not concerned about payroll, as Steve Cohen has told us, but every dollar counts. You know what I mean? Like, every dollar matters. So if Wilson Contreras is going to be paid about $18 million a year and Yandy Diaz is going to be paid $12 million a year, that's $6 million per year, and that can be used on another player. So I went into this weekend when I was analyzing it with Diaz a little bit ahead of Wilson Contreras. Now, with the edge that Wilson has is the defense, because since Wilson Contreras made that conversion to first base, he's turned himself into a very well-regarded defensive first baseman if you look at the metrics. But let's take a look at the offense. And this is where I was bought in on Diaz. If you look at Contreras versus Diaz, 23 to 25, so the last three seasons, despite the better defense, a higher WAR from Yandy Diaz, a 303 average compared to 261 for Contreras. The home runs are very similar, 61 for Yandy, 55 for Contreras. I should mention there is a significant difference in plate appearances. I do want to be fair about that. Over this three-year period, about 400 more plate appearances for Yandy Diaz. So the power isn't really that accurate. Contreras should have more. Diaz, of course, with the head start with the extra plate appearances. But the OPS, 843 to 817. The OPS plus 136 to 127 in favor of Yandy Diaz. If you look at just the last two seasons, 291 for Yandy, 259 for Contreras, 39 home runs for Yandy, 35 for Contreras, very similar WAR, very similar OPS, very similar OPS plus. If you just go to last season offensively, Yandy Diaz hasn't beat across the board. Average, on base, slugging. They're close, by the way. It's not like it's a monster blowout. But Yandy is just a better offensive player. That's the moral of this exercise. He is. He's not as good defensively, so you are giving up a little bit in the defense. I guess you get some versatility in Diaz because he's played third base before, but I don't think he would be used there. He hasn't played it in a while. He's a first baseman. The other guy I mentioned in this mix of a first baseman that you should look at right now, right-handed, is Christian Walker, who had a down year last year, but his power remained the same. So what you get in Walker compared to Diaz is you're not getting anywhere near the batting average. You're getting a ton more strikeouts, a ton. Like if Yandy's striking out 90 a year, Christian Walker last year hit 177 when it comes to strikeouts, almost double. So you're losing average, you're losing strikeouts by a lot, and you're gaining potentially a little bit in power. Because the truth is, Walker at 27 home runs last year, it's not that much different than Yandy Diaz. And Walker walks usually a little bit above the league average, but last year was his worst year in terms of walking. But what you get is the defense. He's only a year removed from winning a Gold Glove.
Toast the holidays in a new way and raise a glass of rum chata. A delicious creamy blend of horchata with rum. Enjoy it over ice or in your coffee. Rum chata, your holiday cocktails just got sweeter. Tap or click the banner for more. Drink responsibly. Caribbean rum with real dairy cream, natural and artificial flavors. Alcohol 13.75% by volume, 27.5 proof. Copyright 2025 Agave Logo Brands, Pewaukee, Wisconsin. All rights reserved.
Marshall's buyers are hustling hard to get amazing new gifts into stores, right up to the last minute. Like a designer perfume for that friend who never RSVP'd. Wish list topping toys for her kids who came too. Mm-hmm. Belgian chocolates for the neighbor. A cozy scarf for your boss. And a wool jacket for your husband that you definitely did not almost forget. Marshalls. We get the deals. You get the good stuff. Even at the last minute. Find a Marshalls near you.
Kazuma Okamoto. Look, we've talked about him a lot. I don't know what there is to add other than he's got great numbers in Japan. He's widely regarded as a tremendous defensive third baseman and first baseman, another right-hand hitter. Where I stand when I look at these first basemen is, A, I'm good with Contreras going to Boston. I'm okay with it. He was a guy I considered, but I had him slightly below Yandy Diaz because Diaz had the edge on offense, even though Contreras had the edge on defense. Christian Walker is like an option. My preferred option is probably Okamoto, but the risk with him, as I mentioned about Murakami, is just the uncertainty. But what I feel better about with Okamoto than Murakami is the defense. Like, if Munetaka Murakami doesn't hit, he's useless. If Okamoto doesn't hit, well, that would be a massive disappointment. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to underplay that. In theory, he would still give you plus defense at third base and first base. So from that standpoint, it wouldn't be a complete loss. So when I look at these options, I would probably rank it Okamoto, Yandy Diaz, Christian Walker. But as I stand here right now, I want one of those guys on my baseball team. Now, is there someone I'm forgetting, someone I'm missing, that either we don't think is going to be available or someone that is available that maybe the people out there prefer more? Try me. I mean, like Ryan O'Hearn is another guy we've talked about, but I like the right-handed aspect of it. I like bringing in a right-handed hitter to play first base, and I like bringing in a real first baseman. Jorge Polanco can play first base. I'm not telling you he can never play the position, but I do not want him to be the most of the time first baseman. I don't think it's smart, and it's risky. Now, one interesting aspect about Jorge Polanco at first base, and I was reading this from Will Salmon in The Athletic, is that even though Polanco did not play first base very often last year, in fact, he did not record a single inning at first base with Seattle, in the middle of June, Jorge Polanco started working out at first base. I'll read to you from The Athletic and Will Salmon. However, over 2 months starting in the middle of June, Polanco worked out at first base several times before games. He spent time with Mariners infield coach Perry Hill and bench coach Manny Acta, among others, learning the intricacies of the position. The lessons included how to hold a runner on, how to get to the base without getting stepped on, how to position himself, how to throw to second base on a grounder using his backhand, and how to get back to the bag in case a catcher made a snap throw. He knows how to do all of that stuff, Hill said in a recent phone interview. The good of this is that the process of him learning first base is not just beginning in the middle of February. It has already been going on. That doesn't make me think he's going to be a Gold Glover. None of us have any idea, but it is good to know that at least the process had begun earlier because he was working out at first base a lot. But one of those first basemen, Okamoto, Christian Walker, Yandy Diaz, Contreras, of course, off the board right now. I would like one of them to be on the team before opening day. Hoff, of those options, and I'm being very careful right now because we're not going to talk about, well, it should have been Pete Alonso. Like, we lost, okay? It's not Pete Alonso. So we do need to healthily move on. Of those options, who do you prefer? Or is there someone I'm forgetting that you would prefer?
I hate to put...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Put this name out there as like a option at first base, but I think the best option may be Cody Bellinger.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I know you want the right-handed bat. I get it, but Cody Bellinger brings versatility to the field to begin with.
No. So bringing him in and having him be an option at first base, depending on where the season goes, I'm not against. But bringing him in to play first base, I am against. He brings more value, in my opinion, to this team in the outfield where they need outfielders and where he's a Gold Glove caliber outfielder. Cody Bellinger has barely played first base over the last half decade. He barely plays it. So we don't even know if he's any good at first base because he hasn't played it in the last half a decade.
I understand, but hey, Jorge Polanco's here too, and he's never played. I mean, really, that's here. That Cody Bellinger is the type of guy that fits David Stern's plan of action. I got to be honest.
He does, and I'm not saying I don't want him. I'm saying if I bring him in, he is the left fielder or the center fielder. That's all I'm saying. With yes, the possibility of playing first base if need be. But in terms of who I would want to kind of put in, not pencil, and maybe not even permanent ink, somewhere in the middle is like a real first baseman who's going to play there a lot. Like if you gave me Christian Walker and Cody Bellinger, or Cody Bellinger and Okamoto, or Cody Bellinger and Yandy Diaz, let's go. Like, okay, we got a lineup that we can play with. We got a lot of versatility. Let's go. But I don't like the idea of it just being Cody Bellinger, because let's say it is just Cody Bellinger, Hoff. He's not the first baseman. He's not. He's going to play left field, or he's going to play center field. Don't you think? Unless you're also bringing in Luis Robert Jr., who the Mets continue to be connected to. Like, how would you envision it then if Bellinger is playing first base?
I still think they're going to get another outfielder on top of Cody Bellinger. I think that Luis Robert Jr., though I do not want him, I think he's destined to be here because the rumors keep on picking up, and David Stearns has a hard on for him. So it's just like, it is what it is. The only other option is if you try to go, and I don't want to do this, but like if I threw out a Wilmer Flores, be like a – another option at first base that's low end.
No, because he doesn't defend at a high level and he's not good enough offensively. Like Yandy Diaz is good enough offensively where, all right, yes, he's slightly below average defensively at first base and you can live with it the same way I was very much living with Pete Alonso at first base because of all the offense he gave. I don't think you get enough of either from Wilmer Flores other than it being a cute story. Other than us being like, hey, Wilmer's back.
I'm not looking for cute stories anymore. I'm looking for – because he was – listen, to split time out of position for Wilmer Flores if he plays 80 games, he's actually not terrible. He's really good at being, you know, a right-handed batter against a left-handed pitcher.
I think they need better than that. Like, the Mets have lost a lot offensively. They just have. When you look at losing the Certainty and Nimmo and losing Pete Alonso – and look, Marcus Semien could very well be the guy from 3 years ago, and that would be a huge help. But they need help offensively. And that's why I look at Diaz and Walker and Okamoto, in theory, as guys that can help. And by the way, let's say they added Robert Jr. and Cody Bellinger. I would still envision Cody Bellinger playing left field because there is no guarantee Carson Bench is going to be ready. And the other thing there's no guarantee on is that Luis Robert Jr. is going to maintain his stranglehold as an everyday player. If you trade for Luis Robert Jr., you have to view him as a, you know what? We're buying low on a super talented player, but if he doesn't perform, we are not committing to just playing him every day in center field for the rest of the season. Like there's a world in which he loses his job. Now, that may feel like a colossal waste when you're investing $20 million, but I think it's a buy-low candidate. That's how I would view Luis Robert Jr. So if they added Robert Jr., Bellinger, and then one of the first basemen I mentioned, you got a lot of wiggle room, got a lot of ways to move guys around. It certainly takes the pressure off of Carson Bench making this team out of spring training. And by the way, I'm not against any of that. Like, if you can give me... I said when they lost Alonso and they made the Nimmo trade, they needed 2.5 or 3 bats. Well, they've got one in Polanco. If they add one of the first basemen, they're still short of the 2.5 or 3. If they add Bellinger, they're still short of the 2.5 and 3. So if you're adding Bellinger, Robert Jr., and another, now you get the 4. So now we're cooking. Now we're feeling good.
I just need this offense to really start to bolster up. It's just not sexy enough right now. I mean, that's the issue.
It's not going to be sexy. It's just got to be better and get good, better players than what you currently have. And I think those names we're talking about all fit that because none of them are sexy. And I think the days of sexy are out the window unless you have a fantasy that they're signing Kyle Tucker and they're not. Like, sexy doesn't exist right now. It's about good, useful improvements.
But I thought you said Steve Cohen told you that the payroll's going to be high.
Did you listen to anything I said? You're going to pay these guys a ton of money for a year or two. Robert Jr. is making $20 million a year. Cody Bellinger may make $25 million a year. And we went over Yandy Diaz making $12 million a year. So, yeah, the payroll's going to be high.
I know. Listen, well, that's to defend Steve Cohen anyway. I never really thought he was taking aim at any of the fans at all. I think there was just a little not miscommunication, but some media people just threw out some numbers and he was just a little offset by that. But that's fine. Listen, yeah, again, sexy, it is what it is. They are overpaying I got to be honest, it feels like they're overpaying for a mediocre team right now. That's the only problem about what I see building. And they still don't have a pitching rotation yet. I know we're focused on first base.
Well, think about what we've done so far in the offseason. The entire bullpen's different, obviously, losing Edwin Diaz, bringing in Devin Williams, Luke Weaver, the whole thing. The rotation has not been touched, no subtractions, no additions. And the offense lost Brandon Nimmo, replaced with Marcus Semien, lost Pete Alonso, replaced with Jorge Polanco. So, yes, there's a lot of work to be done. Let me read some of your emails, including one from Elijah. Elijah is 15 years old, and Elijah showed great respect in his email. He wrote, Mr. Roberts and Mr. Hoff. A lot of misters in there. I am 15 years old and listen to either the Rico or Evan and Tiki almost every day. Thank you for all the episodes. I look forward to them. Well, thank you very much, Elijah. There's nothing I can say or do to truly express all of my feelings for this Mets organization right now after trading Brandon Nimmo and straight up disrespecting Edwin Diaz and Pete Alonso. But we are in our poetry unit in school right now, so I tried my best to convey all my emotions through tonight's assignment. I hope you enjoy. Elijah wrote a poem, and I am going to read it. It is called The Man from Milwaukee. The Man from Milwaukee, for those that are not aware, is a drop we play on Evan and Tiki of A-Rod, referring to Bud Selig as the man from Milwaukee. That was when A-Rod came in with Francesa and was blowing up baseball, wanted to sue everybody, the whole thing. And so when David Stearns first came here, we would play that drop as David Stearns is the man from Milwaukee. So that's what that means. Anyhow, The Man from Milwaukee by Elijah K. Morris. They say the richest owner in sports. They say the smartest guy in the room. They say it will be all better. Better than the Wilpons, but it's not. And that's what it feels like right now. All I see are empty lockers. Nimmo's smile folded into a box. Diaz's trumpet quiet. Alonso's bat frozen in another city. They say flexibility. They say value. They say too many years. As if loyalty were above the Cohen tax, as if you could simply option the fan base to AAA. Queens is a ghost town tonight. Left field is empty, leaving behind a fading smile. The bullpen is quiet, an abandoned trumpet case on the mound. First base is gone, with only polar bear paw prints left to show. They tell us to trust the plan, but every plan sounds the same when they're trading away the heart. They can try, but nothing can fix this. It won't be the same. They were supposed to be up in the rafters, in the hall, wearing our logo. Spending money on a casino, not going the extra step. We thought it wouldn't happen again. Man from Milwaukee, sentimentally means nothing. Sentimentality means nothing. Richest owner in sports, the poorest sense of what a team means, what keeps a city together. And what it can't afford to lose. Damn. That is some cutting stuff by Elijah right there. That's a 15-year-old. Now, I follow up that 15-year-old with Mark Gray, who also wrote a poem. I guess a lot of people are really, they're feeling very creative. They're feeling poem-orific with everything going on with the Mets. Mark Gray writes a Mets version of "Twas the Night Before Christmas." I spent 2 hours writing this. I have to read this because 2 hours writing this and then sending it to the Rico, you may not like it. You may love it. Mark, here is your moment of fame. 'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a lousy GM. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Cohen would soon be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while the vision of Pete in an Orioles cap was stuck in their heads. Mom in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled down for an off-season of crap. When there on my phone there arose such a chatter, I scrolled through the posts, but it was just trade chatter. More ex-Yankees are coming our way. Our blue and orange is turning to gray. I closed my eyes and dreamed of the past. A Seaver strikeout, a strawberry blast. When what to my wandering eyes should appear but Bobby Bonilla and eight tiny Mets reindeer. More rapid than Reyes, his players they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dykstra, now Murphy, now Piazza and Leiter. On Gooden, on Wright, on Ventura the fighter. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dash away, Chavez, he caught the ball. As I cheered in my head and was turning around, down the chimney he came with a very loud sound. He was dressed in all fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. His eyes, how they twinkled, so happy and sunny. His pockets were overflowing with money. He had a broad face and a really nice belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump and was holding his check. I laughed when I saw him and said, "What the heck?" He spoke only one word. I stood in suspense. "Deferral," he whispered, and then it made sense. The Wilpons and him were the first to defer. They started this madness that owners prefer. It works for the Dodgers, but not for the Mets. Now Diaz saves games for Ohtani and Betts. And laying his finger aside of his nose, he gave a slow nod up the chimney he rose. But I heard him exclaim as he flew out of sight, "Mo Vaughn says hello, and so does Ray Knight." That was good stuff, Mark. I think we all needed that. We all needed some entertainment. A 15-year-old's poem and Mark Gray's 'Twas the Night Before Christmas poem. Very good. Let me read a few more of your emails. Dallas writes, "The Michael King signing says a lot about how the Mets are thinking. If they won't part with a second and fifth round pick for a rental, there's little chance they're moving a top 50 near MLB-ready prospect. That asset just carries way more long-term value. If they do grab a rental, it's getting harder for me to see them shipping any of their top five guys or Ewing, AJ Ewing. The only counterpoint would be that they get a compensatory pick if their rental leaves, but I'm not sure how much value that holds. I think we're only getting a fourth round pick for Diaz leaving." So I still think the Mets will trade or are attempting to trade for Freddy Peralta and Tarik Skubal, and both of those guys are clearly rentals. I think Michael King is different. Let's start with the obvious. Michael King isn't as good. Let's just start with that. I also think that Peralta and Skubal, upon being traded to the Mets, I would think if the Mets are giving up top prospects for either guy, that they would have a willingness to sign either guy to a long-term contract. That they wouldn't be trading for Freddy Peralta knowing he's 1,000% gone. And obviously the case with Tarik Skubal. So I don't think that means necessarily that they wouldn't trade for a rental because of their lack of interest in King. King is good, and I would have liked Michael King, but he's not Freddy Peralta. And he's certainly not Tarik Skubal. JP writes, "I just saw the trade go down with the Orioles acquiring Shane Baz from the Tampa Bay Rays for four prospects. It makes me wonder about a potential Skubal deal. Shane Baz is a good high upside pitcher coming off his first full season. He's obviously not the caliber of Skubal, but he has 4 years of control, and the Orioles did not give up any top 100 prospects to land him. The thought of giving up multiple top prospects for 1 year of a Cy Young winner makes me pause. I don't know for sure which trade I would make if they were both right in front of me, but I think I would lean Baz. I'm curious if you think there's an argument to be made there." It's a very, very different trade. I mean, you are talking about, yes, a young guy with high upside, but a guy who pitched to a 4 ERA last year. Like, he's not Tarik Skubal. Tarik Skubal is the best pitcher in baseball. And I think that by trading for him, you give yourself a much better chance of winning a championship this season. Obviously, that would have to go ahead with a lot of other moves the Mets still need to make, you know, like improving the offense, as we talked about earlier. So, yeah, you're getting a guy who may only be here for 1 year, and there's certainly that risk. But like I said, you're going to attempt to sign him, and you're just giving yourself a much better chance of winning. And finally, I'll end on this because it is worthy of bringing up. Jimmy writes, my first ever email to the Rico was after Edwin Diaz's WBC injury, complaining how could they let him pitch. You made a compelling argument that I won't recap because I'm sure you feel the same way today. But wonder if you feel any different about a rookie such as Nolan McLean competing. Is that necessary? I have my own concerns about Holmes coming off of his first year as a starter, but Nolan McLean, I don't know, man. It seems stupid for a kid who's going to be on some sort of innings pitch count limit in 2026 while also being counted to be the potential ace. I understand he can get hurt anywhere at any time, but it still doesn't sit right with me, Jimmy. I do think there's a difference between Edwin Diaz and Nolan McLean and Edwin Diaz and Clay Holmes. Edwin Diaz was at the height of his power. The height of his power. He was signed long-term or relatively long-term because obviously he opted out after the 2025 season. But yeah, he had 3 years left of team control. He's the best closer in baseball. He's a closer. So yeah, you may be throwing some high-octane pitches, pitches that matter more, but you're not throwing 80 of them. You're not being stretched that much more than you would on your normal workday in spring training. So with Edwin Diaz, it's, yeah, he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. He's proven. He signed long-term. Go ahead. Nolan McLean is a rookie. And Nolan McLean, even though it's never been announced, we all assume is going to be in this rotation because he earned that last year. But he's still a rookie. And the Mets could have very well went into spring training under the guise of, yeah, he's got to earn it. Yeah, he was great for 8-9 starts, but kid's got to go earn it. And now you got him going away for a few weeks. I don't love it. I'll be honest with you. I don't love it. So it's not the same as Edwin Diaz. Now, am I standing in his way? Am I going to scream and yell about it? No. But ideally, when I have a young pitcher who you could at least go through the fake game of he needs to earn his rotation spot, I don't love him going away to the WBC. Because it's not just saying, hey, don't overwork him. It's also underworking him. Like, guys need to build up. What if Nolan McLean never pitches? What if he barely gets into a game? That also could affect his kind of readiness for the 2026 season. And with Clay Holmes, it's different but sort of similar. He is still adjusting to being a starting pitcher. He threw a ton of innings last year. I would want to be careful with him. So I don't love it, would be my answer. But it's a part of baseball. It's the World Baseball Classic, an event I do enjoy watching. And so what can you do other than complain when a guy gets hurt? And remember this about Edwin Diaz. He got hurt celebrating. He didn't even get hurt pitching. He got hurt celebrating. Again, you can email us to ricob@gmail.com. So coming up for the holidays, we have two options. One option would be, hey, you know what? It's the holiday season. We're going to take a break from the Rico. We'll talk to you in January. That's option number one. We did not choose that option. Option number two is to actually give you more Ricos because there's a chance you're doing a lot of driving. There's a chance you're doing a lot of nothing. There's a chance you don't want to talk politics with your family. So you're looking for other forms of entertainment. So over the next 2 weeks, during Christmas week and New Year's week, we're going to give you a ton of Ricos. Would you like to hear a little preview of some of the Ricos you're going to get? You will get a Brandon Nimmo tribute. You will get us ranking and counting down, not really ranking, but counting down through the chronological order, the best wins from 2025. You'll also get it at two episodes of us counting down the losses of 2025. And at the end of each episode, we will decide what we thought was the best win of the year and the worst loss of the season. Also, right before Christmas, we'll give you some last-second gift ideas involving Mets road trips. So we got all those kinds of Ricos coming up over the next 2 weeks. And if there's breaking news, if the Mets make a move, or if the Mets lose someone that I wanted them to get, we'll also pop in with Ricos throughout this holiday season, keeping you posted on New York Mets baseball. So make sure you're subscribed to the Rico Bronya or subscribe to the WFAN YouTube page. And get ready. We are not taking a holiday vacation from Rico Bronya's. And I remind you, if you've got time and you want to take part in the Rico Rewatchable, Game 6 of the 1986 World Series, and during the first week of January, we'll have our Rico rewatchable episode in which we will break down the game, talk about the game, everything about game six of the 1986 World Series. So we appreciate you listening and downloading the Rico Bronya. If you are not going to be listening to some of our holiday episodes and breaking news episodes, well, then I say happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year. But thank you for checking out another edition of Rico Bronya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to six guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.